My name is Jody James from the National Weather Service office in Lubbock. Just showing you a picture I took, captured this morning. It looks pretty quiet across our part of the country on the GO 16 full disk satellite, but hopefully it'll light up a little bit later today. Just quickly before I get into the what's going on now and what the forecast is, just look at our office here. We're located at the Science Spectrum building. We have about 24 employees. About 13 to 15. We're actually getting a couple of new forecasters here in the next few days. But we're open 24 hours a day, and this is a look at our operations floor there in the Science Spectrum. And we're responsible for these 24 counties in West Texas. So we cover up from Palmer to Childress across the southern panhandle and then all the way down one row south of the Lubbock area. And again, what we typically do, we're really commissioned by Congress to protect life and property, but we also, you know, do all of our advisories, watches, warnings, and our seven-day forecast, which is how far you might get a forecast a little longer than that on your phone, but the NOAA National Weather Service forecast goes out 7 days. And a lot of your forecasts that you get maybe on your phone or from vendor, a lot of those are automated. Which are pretty good out about 3 or 4 days out, but the local expertise, I think, really comes into play out, you know, 1 to 3 days. So we're not alone. We have a lot of offices, about 122 across the country, covering all of the CONUS, and then also we've got offices in Guam, Hawaii, and a few national centers that you may be familiar with, the National Hurricane Center, Storm Prediction Center in Norman. That's the one that does all the convective severe thunderstorm and tornado watches for the country. And then a few others. If any of your pilots, some of your products that you use as a pilot, like your convective SIGMETs and others, come from the Aviation Weather Center. That's in Kansas City. Let me get past some of this real quick. And of course, we use a lot of, we hear a lot of talk about data when you come to conferences like this. But we use quite a bit of data. That's what we're looking at most of the time, satellite, radar, and really the West Texas Mesonet is one of the most important things that we look at. That can be a blessing and a curse. You know, a few years ago when I came into the National Weather Service, if we had some thunderstorms out here, the only observations we had were Clovis, Amarillo, Lubbock, Childress, and maybe Plainview. So we had huge gaps, and, you know, we could only guess at what the winds were, the humidity, et cetera. But now we've got a pretty good network. I think the number's up to well over 150 now. Extends all the way down from San Angelo up to Canadian, I think, is one of the farthest northeast, and then way back into West Texas. And we're looking at computer model data, like you see on the screen here, a lot of lines. That may not mean a lot, but when we see those dips in the jet stream, that usually portends rain, and that's what we're looking at today and tomorrow. But actually, the upper low is not coming over us. It's really going up over the central northern plains. The only thing we're getting today and tomorrow is a little weak front that's going to push south, and that may be the focus of rain. So we do have some. Our GO 16 and GO 17 satellites are now both operational. They've been there about 2 to 3 years now, so we can see data over the really over the whole our whole hemisphere here, but especially over the North America. So let's look at the weather, what's going on right now as far as the current state of the weather. This is the National Drought Monitor. A lot of areas of the country looking pretty good, and Texas was looking good up till maybe a month or two ago. We had a pretty wet part of spring and summer, but then, you know, a lot of the rains stopped. Still some drought going on in the desert southwest, and you can see Texas there starting to light up with the darker colors of brown and red. This is the map that from September 4th, so this is not updated through today, but you can see here in West Texas around Lubbock, north of Lubbock, starting to see, or I'm sorry, this was a year ago. I want to do a contrast. So there was a year ago in September, and here we are now. So you can see, even though we really have some drought developing in this area, we're in better shape than we were about a year ago. But starting to see some more serious drought develop back from the Concho Valley up into kind of the Wichita Falls area. Starting to get into the level D1, D2 out here. And the more significant drought, and it's just kind of a narrow ribbon, but it is growing a little bit. Had a lot of rain up in the panhandle, but you can see there from about Dimmitt over to north of Tulia, and then in Briscoe County, just north of here, around Silverton there, just on the Caprock, starting to see that D3 drought develop. So things are getting worse, but they're we are in September, and I don't know how many of you know that, but for Lubbock, and I'm sure it's true for this area, the second wettest month typically is September after June. Now, granted, a lot of years you don't get necessarily rain in September, but the reason for that is we are in the tropical season, and we can get rain from Atlantic systems and from Pacific tropical systems that come across. In my experience over the years, we get a lot more rain here on the Caprock from Pacific tropical systems, hurricanes, than we do from the Atlantic. A lot of the Atlantic systems will come in and even produce rain in the rolling plains and then kind of curve back up into Oklahoma. Although we did have one a few years ago, if you remember, the remnants of Tropical Storm Alex that brought about 8 inches of rain to Lubbock and about 15 inches of rain over Linn County. So Atlantic systems occasionally can get up this way. So the numbers are kind of skewed for September based on those real anomalous years, but this time of year it can get pretty wet in a hurry. We can go from drought to flood pretty quickly with these tropical systems. Here is the a track from the XMASIS data for the accumulated precipitation for Floyd data. You can see the green is where we're at right now through mid-September. We're just a little over officially. This is from the Co-op Observer. About 12 and a half inches or a little more, and that brown line is where we should be, which is about 17 inches. So we're running roughly about 4 or 5 inches below normal. But that varies quite a bit across the area. As we saw up and maybe from Dimmitt to Silverton, it's even worse by a couple inches. But here's Lubbock, and you can see the brown line is below. So we're sitting at Lubbock about 2 to 3 inches above normal. This would be for the airport. So we're sitting not 15, but about 13 to 14 inches is the normal, and we're sitting above 15 inches. So, you know, just like the convective precipitation always does, it's kind of hit and miss this time of year. Here is the 90-day percentage of normal, so this would be going back 3 months. And you can see a big chunk of the area here is in the brown, so that is below normal. A lot of this would be 25 to 50%. And then the only really green areas, and it's even splotchy out here, is in the western South Plains from about Muleshoe over to Littlefield and then some down into the western South Plains. Some of that's that monsoon moisture that's been pretty active out there over the last month. And even worse conditions around Childress and over there south of the Red River towards southwest Oklahoma. We were doing great a couple of months ago, but things can change in a hurry, especially when you get a lot of 100-degree days like we've had. That will dry things out in a hurry, as you know. This is the year-to-date percentage of normal. It doesn't look as bad for the year, but in the main growing season, that's where it's been more dry. So you can see a lot of yellow up here. That yellow would be 75 to 90% of normal. And then you get down into more of the brown color. That's 50 to 75 in the tan color there. But again, we see that same pattern. You know, it's wet out to the north and west of Lubbock, and then down in the rolling plains into the big country, doing better for the year. That's going back to January 1st. So as far as our short rain forecast goes, this is today from our webpage. So got about a 50 to 60% chance of rain today. Over our area, highs around 88 to 90. A little cooler up to the north with that front starting to come down. It's about located right here, right now, you know, and it's moving south. By the way, how many of you know, we call it a POP, a probability of precipitation. Do any of you know how we come up with that? Because we get people argue about, you know, the chance of rain, you know, and that's really not a number we just pull out. It's actually a formula, and I always ask the new forecasters, you know, what does that mean? Well, it's really a combination. It's a multiple. It's the conditional probability of rain multiplied by the aerial coverage. So, you know, we can't just be concerned as meteorologists with is it going to rain on your farm, because we're looking at 24 counties or a couple of counties. So we ask ourselves, what's the chance of anybody getting rain? let's say today it's 100%, just for example. And then if it does that, what will be the coverage after everything's over? So if you get, say you get 25% coverage, then you'd multiply those two together. So that's a, so if it's a 50% chance of rain with 50% coverage, that yields a 25% probability of rain. So anyway, so sometimes this time of year, not so much in the wintertime when we can get widespread rain, but this time of year, you know, we have to figure in the coverage. You know, it may rain over a big chunk of the area this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow, but Floyd County may miss most of it. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. Here is our expected rainfall, just in a generic term tonight. You know, we were forecasting about a tenth to a quarter down to the southwest of here, and then a little better rain. Again, these are average amounts. Not everybody will necessarily get this, but a quarter to half inch from Plainview over to Floydada, Matador, and then up to Silverton and Childress. So, and that's kind of the general position of the front, somewhere right in this area, we think. The forecast for the tropics, both in the Pacific and the Atlantic, it was for a near normal season in the Atlantic until the El Nino quickly ended. El Nino kind of suppresses Atlantic hurricane activity. So since that's gone, the revised forecast for the Atlantic hurricane season was above normal. And it's always been above normal in the Pacific from the forecast earlier this year. So if we are going to get some good rains in late September, maybe early October, it does bode well that both, at least in a statistical sense, the Atlantic and the Pacific season should be pretty active, as we've already seen with Hurricane Dorian that did all the damage in the Bahamas. Right now, this is today's. We've got a system that's going to move up to the Florida Peninsula, and then another one out here just off the coast of Africa near the Cape Verde Islands. So this is the time of year these hurricanes will develop out in here and sometimes come up our way or curve out into the Atlantic. But again, you know, over time, I've seen a lot more systems bring rain to our area that come over from the Pacific. But even then, even if they come over, they need something to trigger rain. Otherwise, you just get real humid and you get a few sprinkles, and we need a front or something to focus the rain. Just getting all that deep tropical moisture over the area sometimes doesn't help. You have to have something to focus it and produce those showers. So sometimes I like to run the models out just to see what a particular model will do. This is the GFS model out 384 hours. Now, we call that kind of la-la land when you get way out in a model. But it does show you, you know, if it did work out, you know, where the rain would be and how much you could get. So this would be a little over 2 weeks out. And you can see most of it is this rain, I think, that is supposed to occur in the next couple of days. So that tells me that there's not much, at least the computer model doesn't think there's a lot of rain headed after the next 2 or 3 days. Because you can see this inch or inch and a half. Some of this, I didn't look why this was here. This is just the accumulated rainfall for this whole period. But you see the slightly wetter area is right up in here, which does include Floyd County. But you can see to the south of Lubbock, you know, real light amounts, even going out beyond 2 weeks. And then, you know, this is probably some tropical systems coming in, you know, 3, 4, 6, 7 inches down here in coastal Louisiana. As far as the long-range forecast goes, El Nino has ended. We're back to what we call inso-neutral conditions. Those are likely to continue through the Northern Hemisphere winter. It's always easy to get up here and give a little insight into what's going to happen in the next few months when we have either a La Nina or an El Nino, because those have some predictability. But when these end and we get back to the neutral conditions, there's really nothing to hang your hat on. Anything that changes the weather pattern significantly, we can normally only see out about maybe a couple of weeks or maybe a little longer than that. You know, we really don't have much of an idea what other than just a generic above or below normal. So there's really nothing to hang our hat on statistically to say this fall or this winter will be you know, exceptionally wet or very dry. It is good that we're not in a La Nina, because that is the one that is very, very dry, especially in the winter months. So, you know, you could say that, well, maybe it'll be close to average. I know that's not very specific, but So when we're looking at these trends on the El Nino, we look at the Nino 3.4 region, which is down here in the Pacific, right about in this little box. There's other areas they look at, but that seems to have a predictability. And in El Nino, it's above normal, above about 0.5. You can see it's already dropped to minus 0.2. So here's the 3.4, this graphic here. You see it was going all the way back to October of last year. It was above normal, and now it's taken a dive. Not going to go very far below, otherwise we'd be forecasting a La Nina, but it's going to stay somewhere near that plus 0.5 or minus 0.5 is kind of in the neutral area. And the anomalies in the sea surface temperatures, this is Mexico here, so North America, and you can see right along the equator there in that area we look at, it's the four-week average has dropped a little below normal. So bottom line, El Nino's ended. El Nino usually makes a wet winter, but the highest correlation is in the cool season. We don't really have much of a correlation in this time of year in the summer and early fall. So the probabilistic INSO outlook shows that the highest chance category, what do odds favor? Well, the gray there is neutral conditions, getting a little less so as we get into spring next year. But you can see the other two categories, El Nino and La Nina, are well down 30% or well below that. So we're pretty confident this time of year the INSO is pretty predictable. The forecasts you might look for 6 months ago in the spring are not that reliable. This time of year, as we're just a few months away from the middle of winter, these forecasts are a little more trustworthy. Not perfect, but a little bit better. So the seasonal outlook, this is maybe what you're interested in. These are just broad categories, and it's just odds favor just a little bit. That's about as well as we can do. But as far as the three-month outlook for precipitation, this would be September, October, November. We're kind of in equal chances, which means there's no strong signal here for precipitation, which is good that it's not in the brown. So that is good news. And then as far as the temperature goes, there is a stronger signal for our part of the country. We're kind of on the edge of it, but in the southwestern United States, for the above average temperatures to continue. And I think we saw our second or third warmest August ever in Lubbock. So it was pretty warm. But so we may have a little mild fall as we hit coming up. Still probably too early to put a whole lot of emphasis on what the winter is going to look like. So, wish I had more details. The best news I have is for the potential rain coming up tonight and tomorrow. So, are there any questions on anything weather related? We have had some good weather though the last couple of years, I think, at the fair. So, knock on wood, that probably means it'll be a rain out this year, but yeah, it does rain a lot during that time of the year. So, any more questions? Well, thank you.